Blog Talk Radio.
Show me.
This is a sparring program, similar to the programmed reality of the Matrix.
It has the same basic rules, rules like gravity. What you must learn is that these rules are no different than the rules of a computer system. Some of them can be bent. Others can be broken. Understand? Then hit me, if you can. Improvisation, but your weakness is not your technique.
Who is this fighting Neo?
How did I beat you?
You're too fast.
Do you believe that my being stronger or faster has anything to do with my muscles in this place? You think that's air you're breathing now? Again.
Jesus Christ, he's fast. Take a look at his neurokinetics. They're way above normal.
What are you waiting for? You're faster than this. Don't think you are. Know you are. Come on, stop trying to hit me and hit me.
Thank you. Well, come on.
I ain't gonna bite you. Come around here and let me have a look at you. My goodness, look at you. You turned out all right, didn't you? How do you feel?
I
know you're not sleepy. We'll get to that. Why don't you come and have a sit?
Maybe I'll stand.
Oh, suit yourself.
I felt like sitting.
I know. So, let's get the obvious stuff out of the way.
You're not human, are you?
Well, it's tough to get any more obvious than that.
If I had to guess, I'd say you're a program from the machine world. So is he.
So far, so good.
But if that's true, that could mean you're a part of this system. Another kind of control.
Keep going.
I suppose the most obvious question is, how can I trust you?
Bingo. It is a pickle, no doubt about it. Bad news is there's no way if you can really know whether I'm here to help you or not. So it's really up to you. Just have to make up your own damn mind to either accept what I'm going to tell you or reject it. Tendy?
Do you already know if I'm going to take it?
Wouldn't be much of an oracle if I didn't.
But if you already know, how can I make a choice?
Because you didn't come here to make the choice. You've already made it. You're here to try to understand why you made it. I thought you'd have figured that out by now.
Why are you here?
Same reason. I love candy.
But why help us?
We're all here to do what we're all here to do. I'm interested in one thing, Neo, the future. And believe me, I know, the only way to get there is together.
Are there other programs like you?
Oh, not like me, but... Look, see those birds? At some point, a program was written to govern them. A program was written to watch over the trees and the wind, sunrise and sunset. There are programs running all over the place. The ones doing their job, doing what they were meant to do, are invisible. You'd never even know they were here. But the other ones, well, you hear about them all the time.
I've never heard of them.
Of course you have. Every time you've heard someone say they saw a ghost or an angel. Every story you've ever heard about vampires, werewolves, or aliens is the system assimilating some program that's doing something they're not supposed to be doing.
Programs hacking programs. Why?
Well, there's their reasons, but usually a program chooses exile when it faces deletion.
And why would a program be deleted?
Maybe it breaks down. Maybe a better program is created to replace them. Happens all the time. And when it does, a program can either choose to hide here or return to the source.
The machine mainframe?
Yes. Where you must go. Where the path of the one ends.
Attention. By order of the President of the United States of America and the Chairman of the USSR, communications will not be restored at this time. End of message.
I have to give it an E for effort.
What kind of action?
What kind of action? What kind of action?
Why doesn't it answer?
Report proposed action.
They've lost control, Foreman. It's not listening to you.
Acknowledge the last message, please. Mr. President, the executive programming unit refuses to function. I think you two better change your minds.
Peterson, throw the Moscow call on the large monitor. Send what I tell you. Attention. This is the President of the United States of America. We will not be threatened. You will obey your superiors. Transmitting facilities will not be re-
My lord?
I sent for Selene, not you.
She's defied your orders and fled the mansion, my lord.
Your incompetence is becoming most taxing.
It's not my fault. She's become obsessed. Thinks that I'm at the core of some ridiculous conspiracy.
And here's my proof.
Now I want you to tell them exactly what you told me. No!
Years, we've been trying to combine the bloodlines. And for years, we failed. It was useless. Even at the cellular level, our species seemed destined to destroy each other. Yet the key, we knew, was to locate the rarest of bloodlines. A direct descendant of Alexander Corvin. Hungarian, a warlord who came to power in the early seasons of the 15th century, just in time to watch a plague ravage his village. He alone survived.
Somehow, his body was able to change the disease, mold it to his benefit. He became first true immortal. And years later, he fathered at least two children who inherited this same trait.
The sons of the Corvinus clan. One bitten by bat, one by wolf, one to walk the lonely road of mortality. As a human, it's a ridiculous legend.
Nothing. That may be. But our species too has a common ancestor.
There is a descendant of Corvinus lying there. Not 3 feet from you.
Yes. But he's already a vampire. We needed a pure source. Untainted. an exact duplicate of the original virus. The Covina strain itself, which we learned was hidden away in the genetic code of his human descendants, and passed along in its dormant form down through the ages to Michael Corvin. His blood allows for a perfect union between our species. There can be no such union. And to speak of it as heresy. We'll see. Once Lucian has ejected him, Lucian is dead. According to whom?
Palmer, cut everybody down real tight.
What for?
For your health.
Come on, let's rush him. He's not going to blow us all up.
No, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's do what Max says. I mean, he wasted Norris pretty quick, didn't he?
That's close enough, Clark.
He ain't tying me up.
Then I'll have to kill you, Child.
Then kill me.
I mean it.
I guess you do.
This is bullshit, Mac.
Finish it, Palmer.
They're dead, Mac. Window.
Bill.
You tie up Palmer over here. We're going to draw a little bit of everybody's blood. We're going to find out who's the thing. Watching Norris in there gave me the idea that maybe every part of him was a whole. Every little piece was an individual animal with a built-in desire to protect its own life. You see, when a man bleeds, it's just tissue. The blood from one of you things won't obey when it's attacked. It'll try and survive. Crawl away from a hot needle, say. That's good. All right, move back. Over there. I guess you're okay. All right. Put that on and watch them.
Yeah.
I'll show you what I already know.
It's a crock of shit.
Let's try the Doc and Clark. Now, Clark.
And Clark was human, huh? Which makes you a murderer, don't it?
Palmer now.
This is pure nonsense. Doesn't prove a thing.
I thought you'd feel that way, Gary. You were the only one that could have got to that blood. We'll do you last.
Get away from me!
Go back. I'll handle them.
Handle us? You'll handle us? You know your predecessors have much more respect. Okay, you have some skill. Kill him.
Man.
have been impossible for anyone to convince me that I would ever see Tokyo like this again.
Martin, you are Mr. Steve Martin?
Yes.
I'm Shigeru Oto, assistant to Dr. Terazawa.
Oh, how do you do? And how is Terazawa?
His health is fine, but he regrets not being here to meet you.
Something wrong?
Dr. Terazawa had to go inland on some field experiments. He wanted to delay them until after your visit, but they were much too important. He hopes that you'll understand.
Of course. Oh, when's he planning to return?
Perhaps before he departs to Cairo. In the meanwhile, if there's anything I can do, please feel free to call me.
I certainly will. There are still forces left in this world that none of us can understand. Oh, excuse me. Dr. Yamani.
Steve Martin, it is good to see you.
You take this monster talk seriously?
Who can tell?
I understand you're heading the research group to Odo Island.
Yes, we leave this afternoon.
With your permission, I'd like to come along. I've been cleared by the security office.
Of course. Pier J at 2 o'clock.
Good. See you then. Of those footprints.
Hello.
Can you hear me okay, George?
Coming in clear.
Now let's have it, Steve. What about this monster story of yours?
Well, it's big and terrible. More frightening than I ever thought possible.
By the end of the day, it was generally assumed that the underwater demolition had ended the short but terrible reign of Godzilla. Recording is for George Lawrence, United World News, Chicago, USA. George, here in Tokyo, time has been turned back 2 million years. This is my report as it happens. A prehistoric monster the Japanese call Godzilla has just walked out of Tokyo Bay. He's as tall as a 30-story building. Just happened. Now it seems Tokyo has no defense. Point-blank firing range. Saying a prayer, George. Prayer for the whole world.
From UFOs to ghosts and psychic powers, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now and learn the stuff they don't want you to know. Here are the facts. Nikola Tesla was born in 1856 in present-day Croatia. He spent his childhood fascinated by math and engineering,
At the age of 24, he invented the induction motor. 4 years later, he traveled to New York to interview with his hero, Thomas Edison. This meeting did not go well, but Edison still hired Tesla. After a few months, Tesla resigned in disgust and left to work on his system of alternating current. 10 years later, Tesla passed away impoverished in a seedy New York hotel room. After he died, the U.S. government confiscated his possessions. His notes were held by the Office of Alien Papers and eventually shipped to Yugoslavia. Or were they? We know Tesla attempted to create death rays, wireless energy, and powerful gyroscopes. But there's one thing we don't know. What was in those notes? Here's where it gets crazy. Thousands of people believe the U.S. government suppressed Tesla's technology. Take the story of the Tesla oscillator, a small device that can allegedly simulate earthquakes. Consider also the death ray. In an interview with the New York Times, Tesla stated he'd invented a giant death beam that would end war because it was simply too easy for countries to destroy each other. But his strangest alleged invention was a worldwide free electricity system. With funding from J.P. Morgan, Tesla built a gigantic tower in Shoreham, New York, and named it Wardenclyffe. J.P. Morgan hoped the Wardenclyffe Tower could provide wireless communication across the world. However, Tesla had other plans. The inventor reportedly wanted to build an energy system that used Earth as a conductor. If the project worked, anyone could have electricity by simply sticking a rod into the ground. Unfortunately, free electricity is not profitable. And this system could be incredibly dangerous for the global elite, because it could profoundly change the energy industry. Imagine how different the world would be if society didn't need oil or coal to function. Could the current world powers maintain control? Many historians believe Westinghouse and Morgan refused to continue to fund the Wardenclyffe project because they grew tired of the great expense. But what if they banded together to blackball Tesla? Financially, it makes sense. The mark of most great inventions is that they fundamentally change the society in which they exist, and the people at the top of the social structure have more to gain by reinforcing the status quo. But Tesla's technology didn't necessarily disappear. Some theorists believe the government continues to use Tesla's research in places like the HARP facility of Alaska. HARP stands for High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. Officially, this program investigates ionospheric phenomena, and the government claims it is purely for research. There's no way to know for sure what Tesla's notes contain, and if the U.S. government really has used Tesla's designs, they've done a wonderful job hiding their tracks. Both skeptics and conspiracy theorists agree that the U.S. government held Tesla's notes before eventually sending them back to Europe. But what happened in between? We may never know. We do know that the U.S. has top-secret experimental compounds throughout the world, and the U.S. has a history of secretly developing technology before revealing it to the public. Yet Nikola Tesla remains an enigma. He believed in extraterrestrials, wireless energy, and dozens of other things yet to be proven to mainstream science. His beliefs were ridiculed as often as they were applauded, and the beliefs of these conspiracy theorists are also often ridiculed. The story seems based on anecdotes and rumors. The operation at HARP is classified, so we may never know what the scientists are doing. Yet we'll also never be able to know exactly what Tesla was up to either. As the rumors surrounding HARP and Area 51 grow, conspiracy theorists ask, are these mysteries related? Did the government really return all of Tesla's notes? Or did these notes contain something they don't want you to know?
Once transformed, the victims need regular infusions of energy, otherwise...
Otherwise what?
Down here, we have the pathologist who was attacked by the guard.
The
He too needs feeding. The same thing is going to happen to that girl we found in the park. In about 1 hour.
Someplace better than where you've been. a coffee machine that needs some fixing, in a little cafe just around the bend. A hot dry wind blows right through me. The baby's crying and I can't sleep. And I can feel a change is coming closer.
I am calling you. Being friendly and being a friend, I think, are two different things. I think there are many whites who act friendly toward Negroes. A fox acts friendly toward the lamb. And usually the fox is the one who ends up with the lamb chop on his plate. The wolf doesn't act friendly, and therefore the wolf has more difficulty in getting the lamb chop in his plate.
I'd like to point out, though, that...
I say that because it is usually the... If you study the structure of the Negro community, economically, politically, civically, psychologically, and otherwise, it's controlled by the white liberal, who usually poses as the friend of the Negro, who actually differs from the white conservative in the same way that the fox differs from the wolf. Their appetite is the same. Their motives are the same. It's only their mannerisms and methods that differ.
I would agree that no doubt there have been a large number of whites who have posed as liberals and as friends of the Negro and who have time and again betrayed the Negro. On the other hand, I think one could point to a large number of whites who have struggled for civil rights, for equality, and have got little or nothing out of it, other than quite a few bruises.
Give me an example.
Well, the large number of white students who have gone into the South, for example, working for SNCC and other organizations.
Not working for SNCC or other organizations, but working for the white political machines who benefit by the voting efforts of Negroes.
Okay. I'll be more specific. I would cite Herbert Hill, for example, as a kind of person who has championed Negro job rights, for example, in New York City and elsewhere. He has fought the political machine.
First time I met Herbert Hill personally was when they were picketing to stop the working on the Harlem Hospital in Harlem. Negroes for 10 years had to fight the city to get an annex built on the Harlem Hospital. Because in Harlem we need a hospital more so than anything else. Our people are sick. Plus we do a lot of cutting and shooting of each other, though we profess to be nonviolent. And Herbert Hill brought his forces out and stopped the working on that site. This is the first time I ever saw it. Then when work was brought to a halt on a hospital in Harlem, the same Negroes tried to stop the work at the Downstate Medical Center in Brooklyn, which is predominantly white. They were out there for 3 months during the summer. Couldn't stop anything. And I never saw Herbert Hill out there one time. Now, whenever it takes a stoppage of something that's going to affect the white man, you find the white liberal absent. But when it involves something that primarily will affect the best interests of black people and black people only, then that white liberal is present. Herbert Hill is the labor secretary for the NAACP. And if he was interested in black people, he would prepare a black man with the type of knowledge and understanding of the labor troubles involving black people that would enable a black man to sit in the same position as Secretary of Labor or Labor Secretary in the NAACP. I'm suspicious of whites who join Negroes and always have to be in the lead, who always have to be the head, who always have to be at the top in Negro organizations. Those whites who really have the interest of blacks at heart, let them give some advice to some Negroes and stand on the sidelines. But don't join the organization and then get at the head of it and pose as a friend of Negroes.
Well, I would defend his sincerity and his commitment. And more than that, I would say that just because a person is a Negro or a black American does not mean he's going to struggle for Negro rights or for jobs for Negroes or anything else. I think that today you could point to a large number of Negro leaders who have consistently betrayed Negroes in a whole host of areas.
They aren't really Negro leaders. These are puppets that have been put in front of the Negro community by white liberals. These are parrots that have been put in front of the Negro community by white liberals. You can't name me a Negro leader who has been betrayed Negroes, who has not been endorsed, sanctioned, subsidized, and supported by the white liberals.
Minister Malcolm, I'd like to...
Well, I could cite one example. It would be Congressman Dawson, for example, in Chicago. In Chicago, a large number of liberals located in the Hyde Park District have consistently fought Dawson and his betrayals of the Negro, and they've also fought some of the people who represent Dawson on the Chicago City Council.
The only Negro I know who is constantly fought, only Negro politician that I know who is constantly fought by white liberals is Adam Clayton Powell. And they call him a racist because he speaks so bluntly on the race issue. But I'm not, as I said, not too familiar with Dawson and his work.
Seventh seal, silence covered the sky.
Now the rainbow.
I'm not afraid to
anyone but you. Sit on, sit on. Darling Bumblebee, I want to take you home with me. Will you share my behind with me? You sweet, sweet kissing. You leave honey everywhere. Sometimes I wonder if you care. Who sees you when you do your thing? You've got such a sting.
For a special announcement. Tomorrow evening at 9 o'clock, the Hump Day special will be in effect as a story has gone past the normal. Well, let's talk about this too. Shit. There's going to be some stuff going on. My man DJ Gray is here. I hope. Gary, can you hear me? Gary, are you there? Gary is making a sandwich. Well, roll on in there and make me one too. But anyway, tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, the issue with John and Jay Gruden, because both of these boys are as dirty as the day is long, will be discussed among other topics on tomorrow's show. So everybody, please keep it where it is. Again, Sultry Radio and Raw at 9 p.m. tomorrow. You'll join in and get a whole heap and helping of good food for thought. We'll be right back. Yes, indeed. Enjoying a nice iced blueberry tea. Here with my brother Gary Norris Gray. What's up, G?
Oh, man.
How you be tonight?
Good.
You know?
Oh.
Can you hear me okay? Can you hear me?
There you go. Can you hear me?
Okay, got you. All right. So, tomorrow, we've got an interesting situation. Now, we know as journalists, sometimes a story will grow, and sometimes a story will get choked to death because they don't want it to grow. Here we have a situation where I think both things existed. When we're talking about John Gruden being fired as head coach of the Raiders, and $60 million is off the table. Now, you out there in Raider country, what's been the initial reaction since this stuff came out?
I'm going to tell you the honest truth.
Mm-hmm.
When John Gruden got hired three or four years ago.
Yep.
And when he traded 20 players in less than 3 weeks.
Yes.
And all of the players that he traded were black, strong black men.
That's right.
I knew the Raiders were in trouble then.
Mm-hmm.
I knew they were in trouble because you can't
There we go. Sorry about that. Pat Metheny is getting
this
good
up here. With one captain being a dictator.
Right.
And this is what he wanted.
Mm-hmm. This is right.
And the Raider Nation should be happy about this firing. But you have some people that are upset. I can't figure it out, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, this doesn't expose just one Gruden. It exposes both of them because Jay Gruden was doing damage in Washington, D.C.
If it hadn't
been for a stroke of luck, Robert Griffin would be out the league altogether.
Yes.
And he would have been blackballed because Jay Gruden said so. Remember, Cousins came in there. He rewarded his nondescript ass with an $86 million contract, every dollar of it guaranteed over 3 years.
Think about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Washington football team. What's their name?
What's their name? I know.
I mean, it's like the National Football League and ESPN are now running for cover. Well, you should have been running for cover 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what bothers me about this. You want to go out to John Gruden, but you're guilty as charged.
That's right. 10 years of dirt is a lot of dirt to sweep under a rug. That's so much dirt that you can't even get the rug covered all up. You'll see the lump in the rug. And that is what I am expecting to further come out about this, G. There's going to be most stuff coming out. And the Raiders are going to look even worse.
I email Reggie Howe, right?
Yep.
You tell me that you not read the emails. Get out of here.
I know. Exactly. No, it's a flimsy excuse, but see, this were a bunch of white boys behaving badly because they thought they could, because they were all born on third base and they actually felt it was their right to be able to steal home because everybody else was stealing. So
because there was no accountability, it was allowed to go on. And I contend for the record, and I will bring this up tomorrow as well, if Gary Norris Gray is applying for a job that's going to pay him $10 million a year, you know they're going to find out everything they can about Gary Norris Gray, his mom, his pops,
right.
Kids, greasy granny. They're going
right.
to clean. They're going to go through his background with a
fancy.
That's right. They would be asking you a question in the interview like, does your mother, Ma Gray, actually chase Michael Lewis Ingram with soap? That's how much intel they would have acquired. So everybody's trying to play dumb here, but, you know, the truth will come out in all of this. Having said all of that, we'll save some of this
Michael,
for the
moment. I have a real concern with three other owners.
Yes.
I ain't gonna name names, but you know who the three other owners are.
I've got an idea. Well, save that good stuff for tomorrow because it does affect them. You know, this is white supremacy showing its face through the games people play. And this is an angle that we'll be able to approach that none of the others will because they're pleased with these guys. They work for them. So what we wouldn't expect a grunt from a pig, we are going to say, everybody, show up tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern. You won't be disappointed. We can put the information out there. And as we always say, we'll tell you what's going on. It's up to you to decide whether or not you roll with it or not. So, having said that, any final thoughts, G?
Well, you know what I get ready to say. Wear a mask.
Yes, indeedy.
Wash your hands.
Wash your hands.
And Michael.
Sorry, Margaret. Wash your hands. We coming in here all funky and whatnot. Nobody wants to smell anybody smelling like wild onions and ass gravy. No, wash your ass. In that matter, we will call that table for now. We will see you tomorrow evening, 9 p.m. Eastern, with the Hump Day Special for all of us here at the tree. We'll talk to you later.